In John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about the kingdom of God. And let me just read a few verses from that chapter. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." The conversation goes on, and Nicodemus again asks, "How can these things be? How can I get this new birth? How can I be born again?" And Jesus answered in one of the most famous verses of the Bible, the last part of this passage, where he said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus said, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. You have to be saved. You have to believe in the uplifted Christ. And he was telling Nicodemus, "I'm going to be that uplifted Christ. I'm going to be like that serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness when all the people got bit by the fiery serpents. They all were under the sentence of death and died unless they looked at the uplifted serpent." Jesus was saying every man's been bitten by the serpent of sin and stands under the penalty and the punishment of sin, death, separation from God. But there's going to be one uplifted. I'm going to be that one. I'm going to be uplifted. And if you believe in me, you can have everlasting life. You can have eternal life. You can have a part of the kingdom of God. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, when we experience that new birth, we become new creatures. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And one of the things that becomes new when we become one of those new creatures is our heart. We read from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, where Ezekiel was talking about this same thing thousands of years before it happened. He was talking about what God was going to do for us when he saved us, when he says, "A new heart also will I give unto you, and a new spirit will I put within you." He said, "I'm going to give you a new heart." The heart's important to God. In the book of Proverbs, it instructs us, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Samuel that God looks on the heart. "Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." In Proverbs 23, verse 7, the Bible says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so he is." And so again, when we experience that new birth, when we are born again, we become a new creature and we get a new heart. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about that new heart. I want to make four statements about that new heart. Because when we get born again, when we get saved, we get a new heart, number one, for our Savior. We get a new heart for Jesus. No longer is Jesus just a curse word. No longer is he just a historical figure, somebody that lived 2,000 years ago. No longer is he just a teacher or a preacher. No longer just a miracle worker. No longer just a healer. No longer just a feeder of the multitudes. No longer just a great fisherman. No longer just a discerner of man's thoughts and the motives of his heart. No longer is he just a creator God. I mean, he is the creator. The Bible tells us that all things were created by God. And the Word, Jesus was there when the earth was created. But no longer, when we get born again, when we get saved, no longer is he just our creator. No longer is he just our ever-present God. God is ever-present. God never leaves us or forsakes us. But when we get saved, he becomes more than that. No longer is he just an all-powerful God. And our God is omnipotent. And I want to tell you, God hasn't changed. He's just as powerful today as when he created the earth and spoke everything into existence. He's just as powerful today as he was when Jesus worked the miracles as he walked on the face of the earth. But no longer do we look at God and say, yes, that's an omnipotent God. No longer do we just look at God and say, that's an omniscient, all-knowing God. When we get a new heart, when all things are made new, and when, as Ezekiel says, God gives us that new heart in a very real and a very personal way, Jesus becomes the dearest friend that we have. He's still God. He's still omnipotent. He's still omniscient. He's still ever-present. He's still everything that he is and was and always will be. But when we get saved, when we're born again, when we become that new creature, we get a new heart for Christ. And he becomes the very best friend that we have. In the book of John chapter 15, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. In Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, when we get that new heart, we understand how wicked we are. We understand how in God's sight all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. When we get that new heart, we understand there's nothing about us that's attractive to God. There's nothing about us that deserves his love. When we become that new creature and we get that new heart, we understand how because of that sin in our life, we were under the penalty of sin. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death, being separated from God. And when we get that new heart, we understand that we deserve, because of our sin, to be separated from God forever and ever. But when we become that new creature, when we're born again, when we get that new heart, we understand how God placed on his Son every one of our sins, every one of our transgressions, every one of the things that we've done wrong, every evil thought, every wicked deed. Jesus took upon himself, and on the cross of Calvary, he paid the price for every sin. And when I'm and you are born again, we become that new creature. We understand what Jesus did for us on Calvary. And so we sing with the hymn writer, what a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. We get a new heart for Jesus. We sing with the hymn writer, I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. This is the, and I can't remember the rest of the words, but this is the dearest thing to me to know that Jesus loves me and he loves you. He loves me and he loves you. And so when I get saved, when I become a new creature, when I get born again, I get a new heart for my Savior. He becomes my very best friend. Number two, when we experience the new birth, when we become a new creature, we not only get a new heart for our Savior, but we get a new heart for his Word. No longer is just a book of don't do this and don't do that. No longer is just this a book that tells us the history of God's people. No longer is just this a book that tells us about prophecy. No longer is just this a book that sets on our table or in our cabinets at home and gathers dust. When we get saved, when we get become a new creature and God gives us a new heart, this book becomes a love letter from our best friend. I don't know about you, but I fell in love with my wife, and then I had to go to college, and we had to be separated. And the best time of the day in college for me was not mealtime, as some of you might expect, I might say, but the best time of the day for me was when the mail came. Because invariably, every day, I would get a love letter from my future wife. She would tell me about the things that were going on in her life, and then she would always tell me how much she loved me. And I look forward to that day. Except that one day she found out if you got 10 letters at one time, they threw me in the shower, and she made it a point to send me 15, and they threw me in the shower. But every other day besides that, mail time was the most important part of the day because I got a love letter from her. That's what this is. That's what this is. This is our very best friend telling to every one of us, I love you. I love you. I just wanted to tell you, I care about you. I care about what's going on in your life. I know what's about going on in your life, and I'm watching what's going on in your life. He reminds us that he has a plan. He reminds us that he has a purpose for everything that he allows to come into our life. And so when we sit down after we get saved and become a new creature and get a new heart, not only for our Savior, but for this book, it becomes no longer a book that I have to read. It becomes no longer a book that I'm a Christian and I'm supposed to read this book, so I better get out and read it. It becomes a book where I want to read it. It becomes a book where I can't stay away from it. It becomes a book where I say like the psalmist, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. My pleasure, my delight is in this book. It's like a cold drink of iced tea on a hot day. It's like a warm quilt on a cold night. I mean, you just think about what delights you. You just think about what brings. That's what this book's supposed to be to us. It's our delight. Jeremiah said in chapter 15, verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. As I read this book with my new heart that God has given me, I rejoice when I'm reminded of what God did for me. I rejoice when I'm reminded what God does for me today. I rejoice when I'm reminded of what he's going to do for me tomorrow. We sang that song, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. He's coming again. Jameson, every time we'd have a fifth Sunday night sing, he'd always sing that song, the B-I-B-L-E. Now he's moved on to other songs. He's passed it to Travis. And last Sunday night, Travis sang the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. I wish we could understand what this book is to us as Christians. It's God's Word. It's God's love letter to his friend. So we experience the new birth. We become a new creature. We get a new heart for Jesus. We get a new heart for his word. We get a new heart for his church. No longer just a weekly duty. No longer just 2 hours on Sunday morning where I have to go. No longer just something to be endured. No longer just form and ritual. When we get a new heart, we realize that we get to come together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. When we get a new heart, it's like a family reunion that we look forward to every time we come together. We come for encouragement. We come for comfort. We come for strength. We come for the love that we feel in this place. We come for instruction. We come to get skinned. And we like it. We come to get our toes stepped on. And we enjoy it. I mean, when the preacher gets all excited and starts preaching against sin, nobody wants to say anything. We smile inside because we know that's what God wants us to have. We ought to always strive to be faithful to our name. Fellowship. Fellowship. Fellowship mates. People in the same boat, rowing in the same direction, headed for the same spot on heaven's shore. We sing the song, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Those arms, Those arms that we lean on are the arms of our Savior, but we lean on each other too. That's why God has given us each other. In the book of Hebrews, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So when we experience the new birth, when we get born again, when we become that new creature, we get a new heart for Christ. We get a new heart for His Word. We get a new heart for His church. And then number four, we get a new heart for others. You see, when we get that new heart, it's no longer just our neighbors. It's no longer just our schoolmates. It's no longer just our co-workers. It's no longer just our mom or just our dad or just our brother or just our sister or just our aunt or just our uncle or just our cousin. When we get a new heart, we see every person with a never-dying soul. We see every person that's headed for one of two places, heaven or hell. We see every person that needs to make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ so they can go to heaven and live with God forever and ever and ever. We know what makes the difference. Jesus makes the difference. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We know what makes the difference. The difference is Jesus Christ. And so we do what the Bible says. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And so we carry the gospel. We carry the good news of Jesus Christ, that we're all sinners, that because of that sin, we deserve to be separated from God. But God loved us so much that He took all my sin, He took all your sin, He put them on His Son, and when Jesus died on Calvary, He paid for every one of those sins. And because He's done that, because He did that, He's able to offer to every person the gift of eternal life. He's able to offer to every person being born again. He's able to offer to every person salvation. Have you got that new heart this morning? Have you? God wants you to have it. Jesus wants you to have it. We want you to have it. I wish I could say when we get that new heart that it lasts forever, that we always keep it, that it never changes. But unfortunately, we still have an old sin nature that we won't get rid of until we get to heaven. Oftentimes, sin, oftentimes neglect hardens our heart. And if we're not careful, we end up like the folks in the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, where Jesus said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. If we're not careful, we end up like the church in Laodicea, where Jesus said in Revelation, I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would then thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. If we're not careful, we end up like David, a man after God's own heart, who let sin come into his life and had to pray in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Listen, if you're here this morning and you've never received a new heart, you need to get one this morning. The only way you get it is to come through Jesus Christ. Just tell him, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve the punishment of sin, but I believe that you died for me, Christ. On Calvary's cross, you paid for every one of my sins. And right now, I'm asking you to save me. I'm asking you to just forgive me all my sins and to cleanse me from all of my sins and to make me right with the Father and to save me. Most of us here this morning have done that. I wonder how many of us have to say, my heart's been hardened. I've left my first love. I'm not as hot as I used to be. I need to pray like David, create in me a new heart. He can give you back that new heart for Christ. You say, how do I get my new heart for Jesus back? You just keep coming back to Calvary. You just keep coming back to Calvary. I mean, you just keep reminding yourself based on what that book says of what Jesus did for you on the cross. And you know, that's why we have Lord's Supper once a month. So we can be reminded, so we'll never forget the body that was broken and the blood that was shed to purchase our salvation. How's your heart this morning? You got a new one when you get saved. Is it cold? Let me tell you how to get it back. Keep coming back to the cross. Stay close to the cross. You say, well, preacher, my heart's still good for Christ, but it's kind of cold when it comes to the Bible. How do I get my new heart back for that book? I'll tell you the best way I know how to get your heart back for the book. Read it. And read it. And read it. And read it. Before you read it, pray to the one that wrote it. Say, speak to me through your word. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. When we go into that book, it's like us sitting down at the feet of Jesus Christ, the one who thousands gathered when he spoke. We get to sit at his feet in intimate, personal, sweet communion, and we get to hear the Savior speak. We get to hear God speak. Read it. Say, I have my heart for my Savior and I have my heart for his word, but my heart toward his church is kind of cold. How do I get my heart back for that? Just come. You won't get it back by staying home. Of course, I know I'm preaching to the crowd that comes to church and not the crowd that stays home, but that's how you get it. You come. You come. You enjoy what goes on in this place. You enjoy the fellowship. You enjoy the Spirit of God as he moves in the service. How do I get my heart back for others? I can remember when I first got saved, I wanted to tell everybody. I've been saved for a long time now, and I hardly tell anybody. I'll tell you how to get that heart back. You remember where they're going without Jesus Christ. You remember that they face a Christless eternity in that place called hell. Place not made for man, place made for Satan, but God will borrow for us, for every person that rejects Jesus Christ. You just remember where they're going. God will give you your heart back. How's your heart this morning? You got a new one when you got saved. You became a new creature and you got a new heart. How is it this morning? Again, if you're here and you've never got a new heart, you can get one this morning. I can perform heart surgery this morning by introducing you to the one who makes all things new, by introducing you to the one who died in your place. Would you trust him this morning? Say, preacher, hey, this first time I've ever heard anything like that. Doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit right now is speaking to you, saying, hey, this may be the first time you've heard it, but what he's saying is true. What he's saying is true. You need a relationship with God. You need to get into his kingdom. And the only way to do that is to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for that new birth that we can have in Christ Jesus. Thank you for making all things new when we get saved. Father, I pray for those that might be here this morning that's never experienced that. They've never come to that point in their life where they realized they were a sinner. The Bible tells us we're all sinners, all have come short of the glory of God. Never realized that there's a punishment, penalty for that sin, and that penalty is to be separated from you. And Father, never realized that when Christ died on Calvary, he was dying to pay for their sins. As they've heard that this morning, would you help them exercise that measure of faith that you deal to every man? Would you help them put their faith in Jesus Christ this morning? Trust him to pay for all their sins. They can do that right where they sit by saying a simple prayer, Jesus, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, please save me. Or they can come in just a second and we'll have somebody take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to do that. Pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us look at our hearts. We got a new one when we got saved. Father, help us to still have that new heart for our Savior, for his word, for his church, for others. If there's something that's hardened our heart, help us to come this morning and lay it at the altar and let you take care of it. Just bless this time of invitation. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.